Just record. Thank you. And so what we've been starting by asking everyone if they can introduce themselves. We know who you are, but just for like the formality of it, who are you, where are you from, and what do you do?
Absolutely. My name is Justice Pitt Goodson. I'm from Piscataway, New Jersey. I live in Newark, New Jersey. I'm CEO and creative director of Brown Mill.
I love that. That felt like a flex. CEO.
Yeah,
One day I'll be like, I'm CEO. The next question is, when did your interest in fashion begin? And can you share some of your earliest fashion memories? Like, who were you looking up to? What were you wearing? Like, I don't, anything that comes to mind. Or even if it's like family, because I know there's some family memories there too.
yeah. Absolutely. My interest in fashion started from a young age. I guess it started from me seeing my grandfather, dress up, and get ready for work. He wore a suit every day. And when I was growing up, he was a counselor at Westside High School in Newark. So he was dealing with young kids and, at the high school. But he dressed up in a suit every day, expensive suits. So his knack for fashion and love for style is something that definitely rubbed off on me. Seeing him get presentable every day and walk with purpose and style. So I think that was one of my earliest memories of style and fashion. But somewhere along high school, middle school, I really just kind of got into it. I've always been entrepreneurial. So I was selling like sneakers in school. I was selling candy, but at a certain point, I started to get into to style and my own self. I guess just growing into myself, I guess. When you're 13 or 12, you started to find yourself. So for some reason, I really fell in love with the prep look. And I used to wear bow ties, used to wear some ties, button-up shirts, mix it up with kind of a streetwear look. So mixing it with entrepreneurship, I started to figure out how to make them and sell them as far as the ties go. And that's really the start of Brown Mill. So it was a really organic start. And I owe it to my grandfather.
I love that so much.
Absolutely.
And so the next question is kind of like, I guess, an extension of that. And that I know from brief conversations in the past that your family plays a really important role in the story of Brown Mill.
Yeah.
And so I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about the ways your upbringing in or around Newark has influenced your values as an entrepreneur, as well as the values that kind of center Brown Mill's ethos. And I put in parentheses that this can include anything from like what inspired your focus on tailoring and sustainability, community engagement, activism.
Yeah, absolutely. Family is number one for me. It's always been super important. I grew up around a lot of family, around my grandparents in the home, my brother, my aunts, my uncle at a certain point, my mom. So from the get-go, it's always been community and family-focused and morals and pillars for me. So when I started the business, it only made sense to kind of continue that within our business operations, our team camaraderie, et cetera. As you may or may not know, Brown Mill, the name comes from my grandparents' names mixed together. So my grandfather's middle name is Brown, and my grandmother's first name is Mildred. So the Brown and the Mill mixed together. Is where it's from. And like I said before, they've always been super motivators for me, inspirational for me, and only felt right to found the company in something that was greater than me and came before me for the foundation. So that is the story of that. But when it comes to the Brown Mill, the business, I met my two business partners who are still my business partners today in high school. And we've been rocking out since then. So in a way, we've become brothers. We've literally grown up from boys to men together, and all the while building something greater than us, which is this organization, which is this business. It was intended to be a clothing brand, but we've seen that it's become a lot more than that over the past years. Become somewhat of a New Jersey staple, a community hub, a safe space, a community pillar. All these things I've heard, but I believe in as well. We really try to create impact and create products that can inspire people. So going back to family, that's really has been the root. of everything. And I think people feel that when they come into our store, they feel that when they come to our game nights or our events. And I'd love to continue doing so, because family isn't blood. Family is community, it's tribe, right? Shared values, shared morals. So constantly for us as a business and organizations, how can we share that message even for people and clients that, unable to come into our store? How can we communicate that digitally through social media, our website, through press, whatever it may be? So yeah, hope that answered the question.
It does. I mean, I feel like you guys definitely are much more than, I mean, of course, there's the fashion aspect of it, but it really does seem like you all are like a community hub, like you said, like people, I guess, look to Brown Mill for that sense of community. And I love that because I be seeing it. I don't be outside, but I be seeing it. And I'm like, ooh, look at all those people at the block party. It looks so fun. Like it just looks so like, yeah, you're bringing people together and making people proud of being in and from Newark. So that's really, really cool. I'm also kind of curious. Okay, I guess this ties into my next question, but I'm also kind of curious because I read a story about your grandmother, I think, and how this ties into like maybe your interest in sustainability. I don't know if you know what story I'm talking about, but I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about your.
I don't remember how my grandma ties in, but
Oh, I feel
I'll
like I read something that said that she like took some old fabrics and like you made bow ties out of them, like something.
well, yeah,
Or
yes. So when we started making the bow ties, and I was starting off, I was using like some of her old fabrics, like from her walls. I was using some of her old curtains. Not knowing which fabrics to use, I was using anything and everything I could. So that's the tie-in from my grandmother. And also from a brand standpoint, and family standpoint, she is super creative. Like, she's one of the most creative people I've ever met in my life. So finding the name after both of my grandparents, the creative side of Brown Mill, I guess, kind of stems from her angle and the hardworking community side of my grandfather. So the ethos is that.
Amazing.
But yeah, when it comes to the sustainability aspect, I started off not even knowing it was quote unquote sustainable for practices. Yeah, making new things out of old things from the get-go. But it got to a point when I was in college and I really started experimenting with denim, making jackets, making coats. This is a little farther along the story where, I had a real sewing machine and, was trained to a degree. That two of my roommates in college, they had a startup as well called Paratrees. And their whole initiative was to reforest forests around the world using drones and a gun that would shoot out of the gun like a capsule with skeet in them. So imagine a drone just flying over and shooting into the ground, like capsules of seeds. That just amazed me, their idea and their execution of it, raising funds for it and this and that. And I was like, how can I take what they're doing, and apply it to what I'm doing? You know what I'm thinking? It just really is inspiring. And I realized I was already doing it to a degree. I just had to be more intentional about it. So at the time, I was actually working at Levi Strauss as a tailor and designer, and they were throwing away a lot of good denim, like scrap denim. I'm talking about Japanese high quality, thick raw denim. So I would start taking what they're throwing away and bringing it home and making Brown Mill pieces out of them. So that was a spark, and people loved it. Like they were like, "Oh, they're all one of ones. No individual piece was the same as the other." So that really got me, thinking. All right, not only is this cost effective, environmentally forward, and people love it. Why not? Only thing is, it's a little more labor intensive. So that's where that really started. Soon after, we had a collection called "The World Doesn't Need Any New Shit," and that collection was basically like saying, "We don't need any new. The world always needs new things, but we have enough systems, technologies, abilities to make new things out of old items or recycled items." So that collection was based off of that, and all the shirts were made out of vintage, thrifted military T-shirts, all brand new. But they were like going to be thrown away, so we just took those and printed on them. So there's different ways, to be sustainable. It doesn't always have to be like used rags. There are a lot of brand new things that are going to go in the garbage that you can already repurpose and make a new. So It's as a small business, it's very hard to run a business that way, especially at this scale. So at this point where we are in Brahma, we aren't able to do the sustainability thing 100%. I would say around 40% of our product mix is sustainability forward.
Yeah.
But our plans over the years and as we scale is to increase that, because it's important to me, and I think it's important to the environment and the world.
Save us. Yes. I love this story.
Thank you.
I was wondering if you could like this is like a really big question, and I know there's like pro there's so many parts of your journey. But I was wondering if you could talk a little bit more in detail about your journey. I mean, you mentioned being at Rutgers and your roommates, and then you did touch on Levi. But I was wondering if there are any other things you can fill in terms of your journey to becoming a designer and entrepreneur. This can include what inspired you to start sewing in the first place,
Yeah.
maybe some places that you apprenticed or interned at, any
Yeah.
mentors or other pivotal moments, stuff like that.
Absolutely. I think if there's a story about my life, it would be called The Intern, because that's what most of my quote unquote career. Even from the beginning, I mentioned, high school and middle school, but even I think freshman year it was, I really started to get on Tumblr. Tumblr at that time was like it,
Yeah.
and that blew my mind. There are people all over the world dressed in cool ways and different ideas and stuff. I was like, wow. I grew up in Piscataway, New Jersey. Like I said, it's not close to New York. It's
Yeah.
not close to like Philly. It's like middle of New Jersey in the burbs. So access to quote unquote like fashion culture,
Yeah.
city culture wasn't like there. So for me, Tumblr was that, and I was like, all right, I need to get out there. So first year, I just started to follow on different Instagram accounts that I saw were the places to be or people to work for. And this design firm called Doubleday and Cartwright, even now they're one of the leading design graphic design firms in the world. They had a job, an internship opening, and yeah, I was a freshman in high school, and I
Oh
applied.
wow, that's early. You were on
Yeah.
it. Yeah.
Listen, I've always been like entrepreneurial, so I remember applying. They brought me in for an interview. I came in like a bow tie and everything.
Yes.
I made a bow tie for the interviewer.
Oh.
Mom drove me to Brooklyn. This is in Brooklyn over the summer. And like I said, I'm from Central New Jersey, so like this is new territory.
Yeah.
So I remember showing up and everyone in the office is being like, not like wowed, not amazed, but like wowed. Like this is a 14-year-old kid. This is a huge graphic design firm.
Yeah.
They would be wrong not to accept me as an intern.
Yes.
And I remember the other three people were like 25-year-olds, just out of college or grad school. So in their mind, I think it was like, this won't hurt to bring this guy in for free every day this summer.
Yeah.
And, we add value. So, I mean, that was the start of it. I remember being there and seeing things that I would never imagine. I was working close with world-renowned artists, graphic designers. I worked with Kanye, Jay-Z, like that's close to
Wow.
me, So when you talk about access and
Yeah.
exposure, that was a moment for me, like, all right, this is it for me. I want to be
Yeah.
where I want to be, in the world I want to be in. And slowly after that, I just kind of kept it going, On one lunch break that summer, I was walking the streets of Brooklyn, and I found another shop. It's more boutique-y, and I know so they had a sewing machine in the back. They had some cool stuff in the store. So I just walked up to the owner and said, "Hey, I'd love to work here and intern here." Then I started interning there that winter. Then I emailed someone else, and it just kept going.
Yeah.
Slowly, at the end of my high school career and early college career, I had a lot of internships under my belt, a lot of apprenticeships. With not only graphic design, firms and companies, but boutiques and also tailoring shops too, because I started to get into how to technically sew.
Yeah.
I think what's super important for people to realize is that you're always a student. You know what I mean? Like, never stop learning.
Yeah.
Even now, like whether it be a podcast or a YouTube interview or a book, an internship. Like, I would be willing to intern now. I think it's really fun. It's necessary, and it keeps you humble.
Okay. Yep. I'm going to poke a little more about the mentorship thing, because I know,
Yeah.
like, one of your, I think, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think one of the folks that you've worked with is the Brooklyn Circus.
Yeah. So that was another
So
pivotal
I'm like, can you please talk about that experience?
moment.
Because
Yeah. So without going back to Tumblr, when I was on Tumblr back in high school, I would always see Ouija Theodore from Brooklyn Circus. And also ACF Art Comes First.
oh, yes. Aren't they French? Are they French?
They are Dutch. They're from, I think,
Okay,
yeah,
yeah.
they're Dutch. But I was always, oh man, I'd love to work here. I love to
Yeah.
work here. I even wrote a letter to Ouija when I was in high school. I remember freshman year. I was just like, yo, I gotta. So I remember just, doing what I had to do. But fast forward, I guess people started to hear my story as I'm interning in New York through high school. So like I remember a couple articles were written about me. And through that, someone else emailed me and he became my mentor. His name is Liam Maher. He's actually a pretty well-known designer and tailor as well out in Amsterdam.
Wow.
And he's close friends with Ouija. And at a certain point, I emailed him and I said, hey, I'd love to connect with someone that can give me an internship or a job. This is while I'm in college. And he connected me to Ouija. So full circle from freshman year of high school to freshman year of college, it took that long to kind of connect with
Yeah.
him. And freshman year of college, started interning until junior year. Started to work there a bit. And then I became somewhat of a manufacturer for them as well, years later. Sewing on a lot of their patches and doing some, cut and sew for a lot of their projects.
Yeah.
So Ouija has been someone like an uncle to me, older brother. He's definitely taught me a lot. Has guided me through a lot of situations. He even guides me today. I call him probably once a week or once every other week and bring stuff up and get his advice. It's always important to have someone in your corner that has been where you are
Yeah.
and is where you want to be, and for themselves is on the up and up as well. So I'm always humble and have humility toward counsel. It's very important. So
Wise man.
listen,
Oh,
gotta humble. But yeah, he's been pivotal for my story, my journey personally and business wise.
that's amazing. Oh my gosh. Okay, my brain is like firing everywhere. Because I was like, is there gonna be like a Think Bigger mentorship program? But you already do a mentorship program, right?
We do a lot of internships
Yeah.
and programs. Yeah.
That's amazing. Okay. I mean, I feel like you kind of touched on this. I don't know if asking this is repetitive, but I'm going to ask anyway.
Yeah.
The next question is, how influential has the NORC community specifically been to the journey of Brown Mill?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like I said, the Newark story has been kind of full circle. I didn't grow up in Newark. Well, my grandfather came from down south to New Jersey for my life. He moved to Newark. My whole family in Newark lived in Academy Spires, and worked for two full-time jobs literally to be able to move my family from Newark to Piscataway. Moved
Wow.
to Piscataway, and then when I came to time for college, I came to Rutgers Newark. So that's why I say full circle. And once I got there, it was immediate, kind of like a community feel. I was doing Brown Mill. I was, I dropped out because I was so focused on Brown Mill.
Yeah.
But people support, immediately was felt and valued and necessary for the development of our business. So over the years, once we kept building the business, building the brand, and we started thinking about a storefront, it just made sense, for it to be in Newark, a place we already had grassroots relationships, connections, some grounding. It made sense. I mean, some other options were Jersey City and New York, but New York at the time just seemed saturated. It's
Yeah.
not where we're from, it's not Jersey. Excuse me. And in Jersey City, the options for, storefront real estate was limited. We didn't really like many of the options.
Yeah.
And I remember coming down Halsey Street in college and walking down and being like, I would love to have a store here because it just looked very nice, and there's foot
Yeah.
traffic and it just seemed the right fit. And I remember our first pop-up shop we've ever had is a Brown Mill. It was two doors down from where our store is now.
Wow.
So it's like it just seemed fitting. It just made sense. It felt divine. So 2021, we opened up our storefront in Halsey, and we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the community support, the city support, Raj Baraka support, and council people. I think that they see what we're trying to do, and they see it's necessary for the development of culture down here as well, and they've been very supportive. The community individually has been very supportive, so I can't say thank you enough. And I'm committed to Newark. I want to stay here, as far as the brand goes, and keep adding value, you know.
For sure. And you founded the brand in high school?
Technically, middle school. No, yeah.
Okay. And it started off as bow ties, right?
Huh?
Wow. Okay, that's amazing. Okay, I'm looking at the time. Okay. My next question was, I was wondering about, I mean, you mentioned like with Levi and how you kind of got to access some materials there because they were kind of like about to throw all of this amazing stuff away. So I was wondering if maybe you could describe the process of, I know you said it's only 40% of the business, but if maybe you could describe the process of sourcing materials for the upcycled garments. Like, do you go to thrift stores? Are people donating them? Or
Yeah.
like, what does that process look like?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a mix of things. I mean, right now, our operation, in-house atelier operation has grown a lot. I myself have kind of stepped away from sewing so much, thank God. So I have two tailors that work in the shop, along with an intern. Two interns were training how to sew, and also my brother, the store manager, he kind of manages the whole operation as well.
Yeah.
And we create things from socks, which you've probably seen are overstitched
Yeah.
socks, to shirts, to pants, jackets. And each project is a little different, based on the design. And because of that, the logistics behind it change. So
Okay.
some projects, we go to thrift store or rag house that we have connections with and buy things in bulk to repurpose. Usually for those things, we're doing it for like a collection.
Okay.
For instance, the museum collection we did a couple of weeks, maybe a month ago, that was a project where we went to the rag house, got a bulk amount of things, and operated on those. But if
Yeah.
it's day-to-day in the shop, that's when we'll go to the thrift store
Okay.
to take some stuff, chop it up, and repurpose. But also, we do have a huge amount of like back inventory of donated items and items we have had over the years. A lot of people donate stuff to us.
Really?
Yeah, we actually had to like cut it off because we have nowhere to store the stuff.
Yeah.
And that becomes a whole problem in itself. So, yeah, it's a mix of case by case project and design. So, yeah.
Wow. So are people just like do, I'm curious now. I'm just like, do people just show up like we thought of you? Here's a bag.
So a little bit of both, like last
Wow.
year we had a clothing drive, and the place that we were going to donate all the clothes to ended up not wanting to take the stuff, so we had to keep it from last year's winter, holiday season. And then people from over the years, yeah, know that we repurposed, so they'll just show up with some bags.
Wow.
But yeah, like we've had to turn over the last couple of months, we had to turn people away because we have no where to put it.
Capacity, yeah. Wow, that's amazing. Well, I mean, the waste part isn't amazing. People seeing you all as a place that can like turn it into a beautiful thing is amazing. My next question is like, well, actually, I'm going to ask this. What is Think Bigger?
Oh,
What is Think Bigger?
man. Think Bigger is how we operate. It's how we've come from our humble beginnings till now. It is our team moral compass. It's how we operate. Being an entrepreneur is not for the weak. Being an entrepreneur in this economy is not for the weak. So you're constantly challenged with trying to pivot, trying to strategize and also run a business. So, we've realized everything starts from your thoughts. Personally, business-wise, energy, and how we move, everything starts from that spark of thought. Is it a positive thought? Is it a negative one? Is it an empowering one? That's really big for us as a team. So me and my graph, the story is me and my graphic head of graphics, head of media, Chris Chandler, who's been instrumental for Bramble over the years. We were sitting in my basement one day and we're talking about, I think we were talking about getting some clothes to people or some projects. And then he brings up a celebrity we can get some stuff on, and either he or I says, think bigger. And we just kept doing it. Think bigger. We just start, building on top of it. We were like, yo, this is literally how we come from, bow ties till
Yeah.
Storm Halsey. It's not thinking less of ourselves, it's thinking about the highest self of ourselves, of our dreams, of our abilities, and what can be possible, because it's all there,
Yeah.
So I think that at a certain point we realize, that's how we've operated, whether it be intentionally or not. And it's time to kind of use that as a brand identity too,
Yeah.
because it's something that is empowering for people. It's something that is non-gender, non-ethnic group. It's,
Yeah.
yeah, it, yeah.
Yes. I have like three more questions, and I'm trying to like. I think it's really important that you are engaging folks in a predominantly Black and Latinx community, such as NORC, in these conversations about sustainability and thinking bigger. So I was wondering if maybe you could talk to why that's important to you. I mean, you talked a little bit about it, but yeah, like why is it important to you to be to bring this conversation to the city of Newark?
Absolutely, many reasons. So I used to work from a retail aspect and business brand aspect. I used to work on Market Street in college, a sneaker store called 108 Sneaker.
108.
Legendary, sneaker store here in the city. But I from working there, I realized how much we as Black folks shop. I remember being in there and seeing the same clients come in 2 times a week for the same pair of Tims, like literally multiple clients. Tims are $210, so that's $420 a week, and you're just throwing the shoes away just because you want to look fresh. So I'm like, wow. But even besides that, I would see how the transaction would go, and it wasn't like anything. How can I say? A value, it was just a basic transaction. But for me, if a person's spending $420 a week or more, you want to have a conversation, you want to stand up, walk in the store, that's not any light amount of money. Even if it's $5, it doesn't matter. So seeing that over and over and seeing how customers were treated, not no shade on 108, just not how I run business. And especially to my people, you know what I mean? Because 108 was not owned by our people. So when you're coming to a community that's predominantly of a race or gender or color, and you're not of that, and you're not giving back. It just seems like you're taking from the community. So a person of the community, and I have an opportunity to have a business, have a brand, have a say. I want to make sure every transaction is respectful, is empowering, and you walk out feeling greater. You know what I mean? If you walked in feeling lesser, you know, walk out feeling, happy and elated. Any
Uplifting.
opportunity you have to interact with a person, you have a chance to change their life, because you never know what anyone's going through, first and foremost. So that's really big for us. So that's just a retail aspect. But from a greater sense, we've realized that our story is inspiring, And going back to access, right? Me working for Ouija Theodore, a legendary designer, business owner, who's a Black man, in a very white-controlled industry. Seeing him move and pervades. It was really inspiring seeing it up close and seeing and understanding his thoughts behind it, you know, because there's times where he'll make moves I don't understand it, you know, when I was interning with him, and we have a 2-hour conversation about it. I didn't understand it then, but now that I own my own business, I understand it now, and I look back at those conversations. So being fortunate enough to be around that, and you know, have clarity, insight, changed my life. So if I'm here in Newark and in this community, and I can do that same thing 10 times over, whether it be direct conversations or not, people just seeing me or seeing my brother or seeing my partners, you know, execute projects, be blessed with opportunities, that's access, that is exposure as well. And if we were in Manhattan, you know, if we were in Manhattan, it wouldn't be the same, wouldn't be that same impact. Although maybe we would probably do a lot better financially or revenue-wise because it's so much traffic, you know, that's not everything. So that's number two. And number three is the future. You know, Newark is a developing city, developing fast. There's a lot of opportunities coming here. Roz has really been on top of trying to keep the city equitable, but also bring in opportunities, right? And there really isn't a retail scene for the most part. It really isn't a clothing fashion scene. So even though it's quote unquote not there yet, it's coming, you know? So for us to be here at this time, the timing seems right, you know, where we can get in early enough to be able to plant our flag, create, you know, change, create, you know, this and that. But also be here when the wave of whatever comes, you know, which is a good thing. So, yeah, those three things are some main reasons we love being in Newark and want to stay here.
Amazing. Can you talk a little bit about some of the other community-oriented brown mill initiatives? Like, y'all be gardening, y'all be.
So my mother-in-law, she runs a community garden and urban farm called Giving 1/10. So from the get-go, we've always partnered and sponsored the community garden with whatever they need and activations. You know, certain parts of Newark are food deserts. That's the reality of it. You know, access to healthy food at a reasonable price, organic food, you know, food that's good for you isn't there. So in the middle of South 20th Street, she has this urban farm and a pantry, which is always constantly giving these things away for free. They're grown on site. It just seems right. It just seems it is right. So for us, there was a no-brainer to support and continuously support. Aside from that, we partner with probably 9 months out of the year, we're doing internship programs adjacent with Rutgers Business School, Mentor Newark, and a couple of high schools in the area where, you know, we provide 3-month stint internships for students in our store. Some of the focuses are on the fashion side, but most of them go through the operation side, and that's pretty much running the retail side, running the back end side of the business. So students can see real time what it's like and what it's about. Aside from that, we do a lot of, you know, more fun stuff too, like the game nights, the block parties, and in partnership with Newark Alliance and Audible. We try to cover all bases as much as possible, while still staying true to, you know, our core business model, which is selling clothes.
Awesome. I'm actually going to slide in one more question before I ask the final question. And
You're
that's,
fine.
I'm curious if you could talk about, like, how would you describe the brown mill, like, aesthetic? Like, is there a brown mill aesthetic?
Yeah, so it's going to be changing probably as we go into our next year. But we describe it kind of as a streetwear prep. You know, we have the streetwear aspect where we have, you know, maybe some of the hoodies or not made to order, ready to wear pieces, t-shirts, hats, sweatpants. But also we have a twist on it, you know, that where it is kind of more preppy and stuff. So, you know, polos or the way we'll pair with each other. So we always just describe it as streetwear prep, but I'm really excited to get into our next year of rebrand. I'm not going to talk about that too much, but yeah, we're about to, yeah, do some
Switch it up.
cool stuff.
And for the final question, what are your dreams not only for Brown Mill, but you can talk about your dreams for the for Brown Mill, as well as for the future of sustainable fashion overall, based on what your definition of sustainability is.
Absolutely. In terms of sustainable fashion, I guess my dreams are for people to never be comfortable. People, and when I say people, I'm talking about designers themselves and people within the fashion industry, never be comfortable with current systems, current solutions, always innovating, always finding new ways. I think it is not only like an option, but it's like necessary for us to keep pushing forward to answers because, fast fashion, the way we're operating now, isn't it? It's not sustainable. So, the closer we are to be able to finding more solutions for environmentally friendly ways of producing, better. And it's not only that. I feel like the solutions, a lot of the solutions are there, but it's also an economic and educational aspect too. Educating this consumer, right, on these other options that are out there, explaining why it's important. And this is a side that I don't know about because it's like you can't, expect people who are struggling financially across the world or have lack of access to, readily available capital and disposable income to pay a higher price for something rather than go to Shein or Zara. I understand it. It's you have to wear clothes. You want to look good as a person, and you want your lowest cost, right? And in this economy, it's hard to say, hey, I'm going to spend 20 extra dollars in this t-shirt where I can get this for less. It's the same look. So I understand that side of it too. But I think emphasis on educating people on why it's important and making, having access to sustainably forward items available is important. Continuously finding solutions is also equally important. Brown Mill dreams. I think every day, we're trying, we're always thinking bigger, right? We're always coming up with wild ideas. Ideas are, execution is everything, right? That's where the business side of it comes in, capital, business plan, strategy. So I guess more immediately, our goals, actually, it's funny, guys, right now, for the next 3 months, we're about to go into a crowdfunding campaign supported by Jrue Holiday, the NBA player. He's going to be matching everything up to $35,000 that we raise over the next 3 months. So November 1st, we're going to be going all in on taking this business to the next level. Because everything from 2009, from the bow tie story until now, has been very proof of concept. We've never really gotten an abundance of capital to really do our thing. It's kind of been family and friends investing, community organizations investing. But nothing really substantial to really, move the needle. And that's what small businesses need. That's what it takes to get to the next level, which we think we're ready for. We know we're ready for. So that's our dream, to be able to raise, our goal by February and to create more of a global impact, market our business globally, right? But still have our local roots here in Newark, still continue to create the same impact, but be able to do other things too. That's our more immediate dream. Long term, I see this as a legacy brand, creating infrastructure within the city, being able to create creative programming and support other, creatives and other brands, right? We have a huge sector of our business that is, the sewing design atelier aspect. What does it look like to transform that and scale that too, to where we can start making samples for designers, doing some small time manufacturing and, supporting, other creatives. So yeah, a lot of dreams, but it's step by step, brick by brick. And as any small business and entrepreneur knows, you need capital, you need resources. So that's what's next for us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you guys both, ladies both.
I'm going to stop recording now.